Guys, I have to offer up a mea culpa on the whole Punisher trailer thing. I got fooled, big time.
What's up?
Well, remember? I think it was episode. Well, no, I think maybe the last Sith Disturbers, where I said that there was a Punisher teaser going around Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember something.
And it was super hardcore and gory and totally rated R. Well, it turns out that's not a teaser. That's actually from Daredevil season 2. Like somebody had just clipped that scene. And put it on Facebook as a potential teaser for the upcoming Punisher series. That is happening, but that is not a teaser. That I was watching. I've been getting back into Daredevil in the last few days since the hockey season has quieted down, and I've been mini binging. And so I'm watching, and Punisher gets thrown in jail. And I'm only at episode 10, I think, is 9 or 10 is when he gets tossed into jail. I was like, geez, he's going to be in jail for quite a while then. And then in that very episode, we see that scene that I claimed was from the trailer. So I was more than happy to to watch it. It's quite surprising.
Honest mistake?
Yeah. You got fooled. You got got.
I got got. Yeah, man.
Dude, you see that?
And I showed my wife a couple days later. It was Friday night. We're downstairs watching TV, catching up on our PVR stuff. I said, "Oh, you gotta see this." What are you showing me? "Oh, don't worry about it. It's something on Daredevil." "Nah, I don't want to see that." No, trust me. You want to see this. And she didn't want to see it.
She did. She was like, "Yeah, great." See it.
Yeah, no, that wasn't quite what was piquing her interest that night.
That's awesome. Did you see that pic I posted on Twitter today? What I received was in the mail?
No, I don't know if I saw that one. I saw your Han Solo offer up.
What's that?
You told Kyle, I think it was at his local. I think that's who you were referencing when you said it's at your local, Han Solo.
Yeah, that was the other day. But no, man, I got my good friend Tim over at the Nerd Room sent me over that R5 D4. For the 40th anniversary.
Nice.
Nice, that's a good score.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. And he gave me this wicked, it came in like a collector's core box from like the Spider-Man edition or whatever. He also sent me over like a Funko Pop of Spider-Man and a Funko Pop of Chopper. So yeah, thanks again, Tim. I really, 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 really appreciate it, man. It's really, really thoughtful of you. And thanks again for taking the time and putting in the effort, man. I really, really appreciate it. It's really nice of you.
You really think you deserve that?
Yeah, why not? I'm a good guy. Oh, whatever. What goes around comes around, man. That's all I got to say.
Why are you threatening Tim?
Fair enough.
Back off, James.
Well, you know, Tim did me a favor as well. He reassured me that I made the right call in passing up that Han Solo 40th anniversary figure that was on the pegs at my local Walmart.
Yeah, I didn't.
Had a big fat crease right through the middle of it, and I was about to buy it. I had it. I was walking over to the cash. I decided to give the card a little bit closer inspection, and holy shit, there it was, a big crease right in the middle. So I regrettably said, well, the whole deal with these 40th anniversary figures is the card. It's the packaging.
That's true.
And if it's creased, well, what the hell's the point?
So
I put it back. I kept second-guessing myself, and then I put the question in the TSW VIP group saying, did I make the right call? And Tim said, absolutely. It's got to be a mint card. So I feel vindicated, and I feel much better about myself today.
I've seen pictures on Twitter, man, where I don't know where these people get the idea, man, or what the heck they're doing. But they, you know, these figures even have, like, the hole where you can, like, hang it on the peg. But instead, I've seen pictures where they were jammed right through the card, like onto the peg. Like,
well, that's a-hole stock boys who are like, aha, watch this.
That's incredible.
That's stupid. Although I can't say that if I was a Walmart stock boy and I was in my teens or 20s, maybe I would have done the same thing.
Even with Star Wars?
Maybe. Probably not like a highly sought after collectible set like that, but definitely just the regular carded things. I maybe would have done it. I don't know about you guys, but he's definitely the first Batman I remember. I'm just old enough to remember seeing that old Batman run, the old Batman 66 series in syndication. Corey, I don't know if you do. You're maybe a little too young. I feel like I'm right on that edge.
No, definitely. I totally remember. I definitely remember some of it anyhow. I remember watching it in Kirkland with like Nanny and Pop, Grandpa. Like just
everybody can relate to everybody can relate to where we live.
Sunday morning, it was on. It was kind of odd. Do you remember that Sunday morning it played?
I don't remember when it was, but I do remember watching it at our other grandparents' house, and I was completely entranced.
I feel like I used to watch it in the afternoon.
That was serious business to me. My recollection was afternoon. Like, definitely weekend afternoon.
It's possible. That's possible.
Either way, yeah, definitely big impact. I think you said it, called it, left a huge footprint, which is amazing because it only ran for 3 seasons.
Yeah, it was really a short-lived show, but my God, is it ever indelible. Like, when you see images from that, it's right away you get it.
And now, even in the last year or two, it's seen a total resurgence. It's like retro cool now. Like, there was a point where that show and the theme of Batman had taken such a wrong turn from what the character has become now that, like, it almost ruined the franchise, really. And, like, now looking back, it's just become this really super iconic thing.
It's amazing.
Well, it is. It's amazing for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. Driving through that fake, his tunnel where the Batmobile used to come out, and like the bushes and the stuff used to move out of the way. Amazing.
The little barricade that would just flip down.
Yeah, the flame out of the booster of the Batmobile. Amazing.
What about
the shark repellent spray?
What about what's the name of the actor? I can't remember now. I know his name, but the guy Bert who played Ward. The Joker. The Joker.
He
was super famous. He was so prominent at the time that he had this giant mustache, and he was like, yeah, I'm not shaving the mustache. Like, you just paint right over the mustache and we'll be fine. So any picture, if you really look at it, he has a mustache under all that makeup.
That's Cesar Romero.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Julie Newmar, super hot Catwoman. Yeah, man, that show had it all. And still to date, yeah, probably the
best. So much fun. It's so much fun.
The best Alfred of any Batman.
Alan Napier? You think he was the best one?
Right up there.
I like all the Alfreds.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's because we all want an Alfred.
Yeah.
I'd love to have an Alfred.
There's so many cool renditions of him, too, over the years, you know?
Well, the one from the Tim Burton series, I think, to me, that's still the quintessential Alfred.
I don't know.
Like, Alfred's in subsequent years, like, they made him badass. Like, Michael Caine, Michael Caine's always good.
I like Michael Caine as Alfred.
I always liked the one that, from the old comic books where he still had, like, you know, black hair, he was bald on top, mustache, black, skinny guy.
Yeah, he was always tall and thin.
But
that's changed a bit.
Now it has, yeah. I've seen a couple of recent episodes. But
well, do you watch Gotham?
No.
Sean Pertwee, he's Alfred, and he's like a former Navy SEAL. He's a former like Black Ops type guy, and he's total badass.
Well, I kind of like that about even in other variations when he's an old man too. Even in animated movies and whatnot, like he can kind of still kick some ass. Like he's like a former boxer and stuff. Like he pretty much can hold his own for at least like. He can buy himself some time until Batman can come save him, basically.
Well, he usually ends up saving Batman more than Batman saving Alfred.
Yeah, you're right. He's like the dispatch. He's HQ.
He's the doctor. He's the father. He's everything for Batman.
Yeah.
But anyway, about Adam West. He ended up, like, I don't know what else he did between Batman and like a late career resurgence. Like when he reprised, when he was Adam West on Family Guy, he was hysterical.
It's true.
Pizza for Adam West.
No, you gave me Canadian bacon instead of bacon. This misdeed cannot go unpunished. Pizza delivery man, prepare to meet your maker at the hands of my cat launcher. Damn, I lost him. All right, cats, back in the bag. Come on, Fluffy. Come on, Mittens. Come on, Paul. What a ridiculous name for a cat. Paul, that's a person's name. A person's name.
Yeah, you always like actors that can make fun of themselves.
Oh, yeah. He made almost like a mini career out of making fun of himself. He loved it. I got to see him at Comic-Con 4 years ago, something like that. He was absolutely surrounded by security. You would think the guy it was the Pope or something. He was just like three layers deep in security. Like, really? Okay.
You know, it's so funny. My mother-in-law, I remember that at that Comic-Con, because my mother-in-law she knew I was going, and she kept mentioning it to me. Like, you know, Adam West is going to be there, eh? I'm like, yeah. And she's French as well, so it's interesting.
I know, he definitely left an impact on pretty much everybody. So rest in peace, Adam West.
Yeah.
And I was totally caught off guard. I had no idea he was sick.
Well, it's also...
Felt like he was going to live forever, because he was so sharp and with it.
True.
Yeah, he really was.
What I did read about it after his death is that he had a very short battle with leukemia.
Yeah, exactly. It's like one wrong turn.
I don't know what short means.
But at 88 years old, you know, it's like the body.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if he completely refused treatment and everything and just said, listen, I'm 88. I've had a good life. Just let this go. Anyway. James, we have a bet to square away here.
I'm listening.
We got to settle the terms of a bet here. I say that Iceman is going to die in Top Gun 2.
Well, that's funny, because I say Iceman definitely lives, and here's how I know. You picked first, and I wanted to make a bet.
you know what I first of all love about this is that, okay, granted, we saw one tweet which I showed you guys. And now Kyle's just giving me confirmation that Val Kilmer is indeed in the movie playing Iceman. Thanks, Kyle.
Oh, no problem. That's what I'm here for. So I actually have no idea if he's in it or not, but I can't imagine he wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, look at that picture I sent you guys. Like, it looks like he's lost quite an extreme amount of weight. He's wearing the T-shirt.
No, I saw him in an interview, too. He said he's excited to reprise the role.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah. There you go.
Maybe he's going to be Iceman in the next X-Men movie.
That's probably the Iceman he was talking about.
Wah, wah, wah.
Maybe he's Bobby Drake from now on.
I didn't know what you did.
What are we going to do here, James? Last time you and Corey did Akbar and tickets. Akbar being the Star Wars-themed calamari plate. So what's a Top Gun-themed plate that we can deal with?
My initial instinct was to say the ghost pepper wings at McKibben's, because that's the highway to the danger zone. But we don't really want to do that. Oh. I've done it once before. It's not pleasant.
Did you sign the waiver and all that stuff?
I signed my waiver, got the T-shirt, got my name on the virtual wall of fame. But it's not worth any of that.
No, it's definitely not worth it. But I think you're on the right track. I think wings is the way to go.
You know, they have excellent wings at Cunningham's.
True. Those guys are huge.
Yep.
Huge wings.
You know who's got really gigantic chicken wings is...
M&M's?
No, I think it's Ye Olde Orchard, downtown, right by the Bell Center. Mm. Holy moly, they're like baseball bats.
I prefer that than a little itty-bitty bugger, you know?
Yeah, more is better. I agree.
Yeah.
I saw this one thing. Are you the sauce wing guy, or are you at like dry, seasoned with you know, dipping? You like them pre-sauced, or you like them dry?
Depends how they're done, but yeah, I'd have to say sauced. I'm a buffalo guy.
By default, I'm a sauce guy, but occasionally I do want a dry one.
If done right, the dry ones can be good.
Yeah, for sure.
I like a variety too. Like I like, you know, a good barbecue, a buffalo, whatever. But you know, someone does like lime and pepper wings or something. That's always good too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry now.
So yeah, the bet sounds like it's wings.
So am I like the mediator of this bet?
Wait a minute. We was that by accident that we're betting wings, like for Top Gun, the flying movie?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I think it accidentally makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the first thing that popped in my head, too, and you had said the same thing, so.
Well, it's going to be, you know, aviation themes, so what else we have? It's going to be fowl of some kind, yeah. So whether you a duck or some kind of chicken.
Oh, it's got to get crazy. No,
they don't really fly.
It's got to get crazy. Like James said, you got to get into the danger zone.
Maybe we'll get one of those on the plate.
Well, since we're on the topic of food, I have a food-based would you rather.
Nice.
You love these food-based would you rathers, eh?
Oh, I do. Who doesn't like food?
We all love food. But just I think that was where the genesis of where the would you rather started, and it was, I think you had started with what was it, Gamorrean guard or Akbar? Like, who would you rather eat? I think that's where it all began.
I still think slow cooked Gamorrean guard wins that one.
No.
Anyway, so would you guys rather give up all pasta? All pasta. Or would you rather give up steak?
Homer, I have to go out to pick up something for dinner.
Steak?
Money's too tight for steak.
Steak? Steak?
Why do you hate us?
Steak?
That's kind of rough.
You know, that's tough. That's one of those things where, like, pasta would hurt me on a more regular basis.
Yeah, because you eat pasta all the time, right? I would venture to guess that we all have pasta, like, once, maybe twice a week. Steak, maybe every couple weeks?
Exactly.
Maybe, well, Corey's a high roller now. He's got a boat and shit, so maybe he has steak 3 or 4 times a week?
No, once a week.
Whoa! Jesus.
Dude, the thing is, I got a vacuum sealer, right? So, like, I'll buy these nice, thick...
Steak?
...on sale for, like... I mean, you're getting a $16
steak
for like $8, and you know, you just throw 10 of those in the freezer. Like we did that months ago, and we still got a few left, and you know, we'll just keep our ear to the ground for the next sale. And still,
Mr. Moneybags here going out to the store and dropping $100 on
steak,
dude. I mean,
vacuum sealing them.
That's the way you save money, really.
It takes money to make money.
Don't get me wrong there. It's not in any way the way Kyle's painting it there, but no, I definitely I like to do that. We buy meat when it's on sale and we vacuum freeze it. It's very cost effective.
All right, but back to the question at hand. Steak hurts me more like deeply than pasta does, which would hurt me more regularly. But I guess I'd have to give up the pasta because, like, I've never had a birthday pasta.
I have.
No.
Smoke meat spaghetti?
Yeah.
Yeah, what makes that good is the meat. Otherwise, it's just spaghetti, and you never requested that. I mean, you request that on a Monday. That's the Monday request. It's not like, let's go out for spaghetti.
Do egg noodles count as pasta?
Yes.
Absolutely. Stop looking for loopholes, you shit.
What about rice noodles?
Anything that's called noodles.
Noodle's not necessarily pasta.
Yes, for this question.
Exercise? Okay. I just want you guys to clarify. You know, I'm just trying to avoid loopholes here, but anyhow. I'm giving up
steak,
I guess, whatever.
What's wrong with you?
You know, I'm looking at the options here. I mean, I still have, you know, a smorgasbord of other meats to choose from. I can cook other meats like a steak in a way.
Nope, you can't. So as a card, as a card holding member of the Man Club, Kyle and I request that you mail yours in, please.
No way, man. I mean, like, lasagna. You think I'm giving up lasagna for the rest of my life? I would. Whatever. Like I said, I can have a hamburger. I don't know, man. Like, I could replace that meat, but I'll never be able to replace that pasta with any other sensation. You know, like, just picture a nice piece of, like, manicotti with ricotta or something, you know? Like, the ricotta.
Eggplant lasagna. Vegetable lasagna.
Yeah, vegetarian lasagna.
It's vegetable lasagna. Lasagna.
Yeah, I guess you could do, okay, like... Well,
how about this? Would you rather have... This must be riveting for the listeners. I hope it is. Jesus Christ. Would you rather have the best lasagna on the face of the earth or the best steak on the face of the earth?
That's a harder choice than maybe you think it will be, because that I really do like lasagna. But the best steak on the face of the earth?
I don't know. I make a pretty damn good steak.
You're not trying to make us think you make the best steak on planet Earth, do you?
Hey, you know what? My wife tells me it's better than any of the restaurants, and she says she'd rather have my steak than going to, like, a really nice place.
You guys share the bills, right?
Yeah, right.
Corey, you don't make steak, you cook steak. So really it all depends where you buy it.
Well,
I'll say I would rather have the best steak in the world.
Yeah, I would think so.
I may have already had it. I've had the, like, Florentine. Yeah, bifteca, whatever they call it, Florentine in Italy. That's like their Kobe. I think it was like 150 euros for the double, like for a two-person steak.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, it was really not very cheap, but it was up there amongst the best things I've ever put in my mouth.
Best steak I ever had was in Orlando, Florida. Vito's Chop House. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
I'm going to Moishe's again in the near future. That place never disappoints.
It was just like this whole thing where they had, like, I was sitting really close to the cook too, and I just saw my steak come out of wherever he keeps it, and it was just this massive piece of beautiful meat, and the grill was like 1300 degrees, and they have like citrus wood chips in there. Man, was it good.
Sounds amazing. Holy
God. It was so good. I tried to direct Mark and Rob there when they were in Orlando for Celebration, but I don't know if they went. It was literally like a kilometer away from the convention center. All right. Who else wants to take a turn here?
Yeah, I got a couple of things in the hopper. Fun facts. I found some interesting stuff that I wanted to true or false you guys on. The first of which... okay, so true or false?
Wait. We always said if we figured Corey was having mic troubles, we would stop and question things.
Well, that's true.
Corey, what the fuck?
What? What's going on?
We hear some sort of weird noise.
Okay.
But it's gone now.
So help me God if your audio screwed up again.
No, it's good.
It'll be murder. Okay, when hippos are upset, angry, or frustrated, they sweat red sweat.
That sounds so weird that it may just be
true. Yeah, I have to go with, I'm on the same page as that.
Completely true! I learned that today, and I thought, what? Red?
That's so weird.
It's like they're Sith.
It's like bleeding through their skin?
That's anger. They see red. Here's something else I learned today. There are two trains in moviedom with flux capacitors. One's easy to guess, but can you guess the second?
The Polar Express.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Well done.
Yeah, kind of makes sense, I guess.
Both Zemeckis, and I guess the animators did it as a shout out. But there's a scene when they're firing coal into the hopper where you can see a flux capacitor in that train.
That's awesome.
Just like the train in Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the first one, I would imagine.
Yeah, that was the other one.
No, there's actually three.
What's the other one?
Matt Keegan's.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it back to vacuum sealing for a second here. So back in episode 79, we were talking about carbonite. Ads had asked us a great question. But later on, as I was trying to drift to sleep and I was exhausted and having heat stroke, and I thought to myself, what do you think? Like, if you get put into carbonite and you go into perfect hibernation, that's one thing, right? Like, I don't understand the science behind that. It's sci-fi. But what do you think happens in that galaxy if only your head gets stuck in carbonite?
I think you're dead.
Yeah.
You think you're dead?
Yeah. Come on. Use your brain. Wait, I can't.
Yeah, I don't think you can live through that.
I mean, I'm not arguing, but why?
It's not all done at once. Like, one can't live without the other.
Like, you're in, like, some kind of suspended animation, right? So, like, your body continues to age outside of the block of carbonite and do its bodily functions while your head does nothing?
Yeah, it would almost be as if you were decapitated, I would think.
Plus, you'd starve to death.
And your body would still need fuel. I mean, that's easily enough taken care of if you really needed to. Somebody could just fill you up with vitamins somehow.
No.
You're dead? It's over?
Yeah. Well, you're dead like a chicken with no head. Like maybe you could last like a little longer than a guy who didn't get carbonated. But, you know, you're still dead.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, I got some.
Anybody crazy enough out there that thinks that you could actually survive being carbonated on your head? I'd like to hear how that works.
Yeah, hit up Kyle at the Tumbling Saber, because we definitely want to know the people that think they'd like to try that.
That's just a weird question in general.
Well, like I said, it came about while I was suffering from some heat stroke after in the aftermath of episode 79.
Things here. I got an existential question, and I don't know if you guys want to hear some questions or like trivia. You want to hear one of those first?
Yeah, go for it, man.
All right. Okay, so we all know that George Lucas had quite a hard time filming A New Hope. It all worked out in the long run, but I mean, just imagine like having to have the weight of this production on your shoulders, right? Like, you got Wookiees and like a space dog and like all this crazy stuff going on, like laser swords and guys with buckets on their heads, like you know, he had to have had his doubts behind it all, and we've heard that he pretty much almost came close to a nervous breakdown while during filming, right? So like I told you guys about that Peter Cushing thing with the slippers. Like, just imagine that from his standpoint. Like, he was all about visuals, right? So I heard one of the things about there being no guardrails in Star Wars is because he loved the sets and he wanted to get, like, these clean, sharp, like, pictures, right? So that's one thing that's probably, you know, George is like, well, you know, Peter, I'd really like to get these. And he's like, no, slippers. He's like, oh, okay.
I'm not doing it.
So it's just, like, adding, it's compounding on the problem. And then The scene with the Dianoga, supposedly Luke, he held his breath underwater for too long and ended up like bursting a whole bunch of blood vessels in one of them, I guess it would be the right side of his face. And so he had this like quite a big blemish. So they ended up having to film basically the rest of the film, like reframing everything, you know? So like he kind of got handicapped there in the sense that like he couldn't necessarily do the shots that he wanted to do. He had to like kind of place Luke in a position where he didn't look like all messed up. So just another reason it was probably filming.
I think
just
I've heard that
crazy.
I might have known or peripherally known something about that, but that's cool. I love little things like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Look, Luke took one for the team, but George was like, no.
It's like he's in the room when you do that.
Yeah. Eh?
Dead on.
All right, well, so I got another quick one for you, too. You guys, I'm sure you both have heard that Alec Guinness was none too thrilled to really be doing Star Wars. Like, he kind of just considered it like a real fluff piece and was not really too interested again. But he,
I think he thought it was silly.
Yeah, but he did manage to work something into his contract where he would be, I think it was, he got 2% of the film's gross profits.
Oh, yeah, he made like a bandit.
Yeah, like $95 million bandit.
Yeah, he made a lot of money from that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was straight up $95 million. I think it's $95 million in today's money.
That's possible. That made a little more sense to me, but yeah. He must have been like, wow.
Well, the only reason why he did it was the money.
Well, how did he know? Like, you know, did they really think that this thing was going to be like a super...
No, I mean, there's the clause, the 2% clause, but also his salary. I mean, being the only, besides him and Peter Cushing, they were the only known actors in that movie. So they took, I think, I don't know for sure, but they took home the biggest paychecks.
Oh, I would think so for sure. Probably like 50% of that budget at least.
I don't know about that much. I don't know if actors made in the millions back then. It was, I think, $11 million budget.
No, not to make that. No, movie. The budget for casting.
Oh, that's, yeah, maybe. Nobody else in there is very well known.
Here's another little quick one. I'll ask you guys. Okay, what did George Lucas get the idea to basically to name R2-D2?
That's some film jargon.
Correct.
Real 2 dialogue 2.
You got it, man. On American Graffiti. It was either him who said it or someone else, and he heard someone say it. He was like, hey, pass me R2-D2. He's like, let me just jot that down and put that on the shelf.
It's amazing, Corey. Amazing.
Kyle does a better one, to be honest.
I don't think anybody. I don't think George does a better one.
You may be right. Okay, one more. I got one more quick one. I think, I don't know if we've touched on this a while ago, but there's a scene where on Bespin, where when Lando gives the order for everyone to evacuate, there's a scene where some dude's running down the hallway with a kitchen appliance in his hand. Do you know which kitchen appliance it is?
It's an ice cream maker.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you see a dude, he's clearly holding an ice cream maker and like, I'm out of here.
Do you know his name?
Mm.
That guy has a name.
Let's see. Is it Ben or Jerry?
Nice try. Neither. Wilro Hood is his name.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It's actually a thing. I can't remember. I'm going to Google it here. Yeah, so at Anaheim, Celebration Anaheim in 2015, they did a Wilro Hood run. There was a bunch of people cosplaying as Wilro Hood, just bolting around the convention center, dressed up in this in his yellow, his orange jumpsuit with an ice cream maker.
That's awesome.
It's hilarious.
That's pretty good. Bet you someone was like, guys, this thing will get 1 million likes. This thing's gonna go viral.
Oh, it did at the time.
Yeah, it's pretty ingenious.
There's even an action figure of him.
Oh, Christ, they made an action figure of everybody back then, no? And even everybody now.
It's not a vintage figure.
Oh, no?
No, I think I want to say it's from the 30th anniversary line. Let me consult Google again.
Star Wars is so good for that. You get a figure. Everybody gets a figure. Everybody is like, you're in the movie for like literally like 3 seconds. Figure.
Figured it.
Well, nobody does that better than Star Wars.
Nope.
They're the kings of figures for sure. And speaking of 30th anniversaries, you know what else is turning 30?
Oh, well, not only the Predator just turned 30, but I know which one you're talking about, too.
Yeah, baby, the Spaceballs, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Spaceballs definitely means a lot to me, man.
It's, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's right up there.
It's interesting, too, because in a way, like, you know the story, James, Kyle and I, our cousins, Star Wars. Then we started reenacting these Star Wars skits on microphone and stuff. And then luckily came along Spaceballs, you know?
Well, I think we're going to treat the listeners next week with... For the 30th, with an all Spaceballs episode. I think that's going to be quite fun.
Yeah, that movie's so good. It's been a while since I've seen it. I'd say like at least 2-3 years, maybe.
Shout out to my buddy Kirk Reed, who used to, when I was like 12 years old, we had a pop-up trailer in the backyard, and we used to camp out there, me and my buddy all the time, and I'm telling you verbatim, the whole movie back and forth. I'm sure I couldn't do that now, but I could get most of it.
Me too, for sure.
Oh, it's so fantastic. Ugh. Can't wait to give that a watch in advance. Everybody needs to watch Spaceballs before we drop our next Sith Disturbers.
I might watch it tonight after the show.
That's going to be next week.
I hope that's everyone's bag too, eh? Like, I mean, it depends. It might fall short. I'm curious to know. I would love. I don't know if Ash or KTSO is listening. Any of the younger members of the Commonwealth, I would love to know how they feel about this movie. You know, having grown up in the prequel era, just maybe it was a bit of a different. Spaceballs maybe different for them than the way we received it. And I'd really be interested in hearing what they would think about that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Nicely, they'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask because, you know, some people it's not their cup of tea. Like I remember going back and forth with someone on Twitter a couple of months ago, and they were like, I think there was the announcement of that Star Wars spoof movie that was coming out, right? And everyone's like, man, like I don't know if I want this, blah blah blah, and like people were just harping on it, and like there's been never a good one. And I kind of like chimed in. I was like, well, you're kind of wrong, because Spaceballs is amazing, and no one had mentioned Spaceballs, and they were like, no, it's not really my cup of tea, and I was just like, wow, really? Well, I teach their own, but it's just so surprising. Like, someone in our age range, you know, who's a fan of Star Wars, not a fan of Spaceballs, is surprising to me anyhow.
Could be a generation gap. Could be as simple as that.
Yeah. But it's funny. So people can be wrong if they want.
Oh, yeah. People are allowed to be wrong all day long. All day long.
It's still so true, because I don't know if it's only a nostalgia thing, because when I watch that movie, it's like I literally laugh out loud every time. And that does not happen a lot with television shows or movies. Like, it's got to be pretty funny, but there's certain things that I can't help myself.
It's funny to me that Mel Brooks didn't feel like inspired to do anything with the prequels.
Now that episode
7 came out, he's like, oh, now we have new material. We should like maybe think about it. But I'm like, you've got all kinds of material, man.
It's very odd. Very, very, very odd. Like, I don't get it. And now we got this other spoof kind of moving into that domain. So it's going to seem like maybe Spaceballs 2. I don't know. They might not want to put it out there like to go... put another spoof Star Wars movie out there now, you know? Like, he had ample time to make a follow-up, and the people wanted it, so I never understood that, you know? Like, there was so many rumors, even, like, 10, 20 years ago, Spaceballs 3, The Search for Part 2, remember? Like,
yeah.
It's hard to say. Maybe, I don't know if he ever really seriously considered it. Lord knows there was enough material for him to spoof. Maybe he felt like the movies got crapped on so hard as it was that he didn't need to pile on with a spoof movie.
Yeah, I thought that, but... maybe you only... yeah, maybe. At any rate, good news that he's talking about new ones.
And he's not young either. I mean, I hate to be...
80-something.
Dour about this, but... if he's going to do it, good Lord, get on it.
You think he'd reprise his role as President Scroob?
How can he? He's 91.
That's what I'm
saying. Is he 91?
Yeah, he's born in 1926.
Incredible.
Yeah, he could maybe be yogurt.
Yeah, it might be tough to pull off, but sure they can do it somehow. It'd be difficult to imagine a Spaceballs movie without yogurt. Mel Brooks is yogurt. That being said, I'm looking at his IMDb profile here, and he's got a movie called Blazing Samurai in the works.
Really? Blazing Saddles is probably my dad's favorite of his.
Well, I was just about to say, now, if he's making Blazing Samurai in the same spirit as Blazing Saddles, oh boy, look out.
Yeah, it could
and
be
that
good.
Movie. Like, he's there's no way he can put in the same flammable material.
No, not at the same level. Oh my God, they use the N-word all kinds in that movie.
All kinds. The N-word, the F-word, not the F-word, but the other F-word.
Yeah.
The derogatory one.
Yeah. No, dated, doesn't hold up. You can't use that humor anymore. It's not considered humor anymore.
What's that? Like slapstick?
No, like that racially charged, that inflammatory language.
No, definitely that, to be honest, depending on,
like, can you still laugh at that stuff though? I mean, does it make you a bad person if you watch it knowing how wrong it is? If you watch it and you laugh anyway, does that make you like a bad person?
Yeah, probably.
No. I still listen to Delirious and I laugh and laugh, and it doesn't mean that I'm racist or, you know.
Yeah, but Eddie Murphy's black.
Yeah, but did he intend that to be only for black people to laugh, or?
No, that's what I mean. Like, you can laugh along with him because, like, he's allowed to use that word, but Mel Brooks and the people in Blazing Saddles who use that, they use it in a different way, man.
Oh, that in that regard, yeah, I'm totally on the same page. You can't, not in this day and age. Like, maybe if it's a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, and it's Sam L. Jackson.
No, even in a Tarantino movie, you can get away with like a white dude saying it.
I don't know.
About it.
All right. Well, what else we got?
I got a few things. What do you guys think? Do you wanna? I got a poll that kind of we can ride the wave from the Tumbling Saber. The poll we've saved it for a while. If you want, or I have a best in showdown. Which, I don't know, it's kind of boring this week, but who knows. And I got two existential questions for you. One Star Wars related and one not Star Wars related. So you guys choose from that pile of things.
Well, it's a Star Wars podcast. And we haven't spoken much about Star Wars, so let's end the show with an existential question about Star Wars.
Okay. We're going to save... This question is going to be taken in two parts. I think one part we're going to save for later on. It could be more material-based, and we'll take it to the Tumbling Saber, but we know now that Rebels has come out that if you are to merge a Sith holocron and a Jedi holocron, you are going to be able to gain some kind of knowledge, some kind of insight. Like, you're basically going to get enlightened. And if that were the case, like, say you guys are living in the galaxy far, far away, your characters, your players within the game, you know, and you're able to open and use a Jedi or Sith holocron, and the counterpart that you have with you is also able to unlock his holocron. So that being the case, and we're going to go with the current time period of Star Wars, you guys, you're unlocking a holocron. What are you going to ask the answer to?
That's funny. I have the same kind of question jotted down in a random sketchbook of things I would ask at some point. Like, I'm an in-universe person.
Corey.
Sorry, say that again. Sorry. I thought you were starting your thing. Yeah, you're part of the galaxy far, far away. You're in that universe. Like, you, whatever you say is going to make a difference. Whatever you ask is going to make a difference, or whatever you want to know. It could be anything. Like, you know, if you're not involved in the saga and you don't want to know that, then ask something else. Like, I don't know. Where's Ahsoka?
See, if I wasn't part of the Star Wars galaxy, I would ask, how many Star Wars movies will there be before I die?
Ooh, that's kind of creepy too, because then you can like time your death. You'd be like, when that next movie comes, you'd be like, damn it, you know I'm dying in this time period. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah. That's a drawback.
No, but you're living in that, you know, you're a player in the galaxy far, far away, you know what I mean? Like, you want to ask something that, again, like, you want to know, like, I'm sure we all want to know in what form Ahsoka lives, or, like, I'll tell you mine. Like, I would say, how can we forever bring balance to the Force? Something like that, you know?
How can I stop these movies from happening? that's essentially your question.
In a way, but no, not really. I mean, you can ask whatever you want. Like, that's what I would ask of it. Like, how can we balance the Force forever? And yeah, again, you nailed it. Like, end the saga, have a conclusion. Like, speaking of the movie, but I think I would still ask that if I was, like, in a position to do, you know, to ask that question. You know, it'd be for the betterment of everyone, I would think. It's almost the same question of, you know, oh, I'd like to bring world peace.
Maybe I think I would ask, where do all the lost socks go?
You know, it's funny, in the Star Wars universe, there isn't any lost socks because everybody's got one pair.
Have we ever see anybody wearing socks in Star Wars? I don't think so.
No, just slippers.
I don't know, James, what would you ask? I'm thinking about it. If I was in...
I would ask... I think I'd also ask, what is more delicious, Akbar or Gamorrean Guard?
Well, that's a good question. That's fair. I might ask how to Force Ghost.
Hey, get the cheat sheet like they're going to give Leia, right?
Yeah.
You shut your face.
Gotcha, bitch.
I'd like to have this man removed.
He's here again.
Well, you had even mentioned it. You had even mentioned it recently in the TSW VIP, Kyle, in the sense that, you know, you don't want to see Force Ghost Leia, but maybe you might be okay with seeing it in the sense that Anakin ushers her back or ushers her in. You know, you get the father-daughter thing there. They can kind of tie Kylo in there. And like you said, maybe, you know, at the end, you kind of, like, the whole Skywalker line ends there and it's kind of cut off there, and in a way, it's like that's the conclusion. You know, the Force is gone with these characters, and maybe it won't come back. Like, it's kind of almost like it emulates the Lord of the Rings in a way, where, you know, they're moving on to the Force Age of Men, and the elves are leaving, and there will be.
You've said all this already.
Yeah, but there's going to be no. I don't know if I made the Lord of the Rings in that analogy in the sense that they're.
You did.
Really?
Yeah.
That the elves leave, and there's no more magic, and. I don't know, whatever. That's what I would ask of. I would just ask how to bring balance, but you know, you pointed out recently that you kind of some would be okay with that if that's the route they took it down, like.
Well, I mean, it's the most palatable thing. It's not what I prefer. I would prefer not to do that.
So it
does not make sense to me.
You'd prefer for the Force to, like, flourish in the galaxy after, and not, like...
What's going to? If there's any... As long as there's things living, there's going to be the Force.
That's not how the Force works.
Well, then you go argue with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Hey, anyway, things can change in a story, and, you know, who knows what kind of ancient knowledge or mysteries, like, it has in store for us, but it does seem like... seems like a big deal to Snoke anyhow, you know.
What seems like a big deal to Snoke?
Like if the Jedi, if Luke, you know, is found and this girl gets to him, then yeah, the Force can flourish, but I don't think that's what...
Well, he said the new Jedi will rise.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean the Force is going to flourish.
Well, I think they kind of go hand in hand.
The light side, the part of the Force he doesn't like will flourish.
So that's almost the thing that... Well, always looking back on that, it kind of scares me in a way, just because it really does indicate that they will, once this saga is over, whom they might start a new saga and continue forward. Whereas I'm hoping it's all concluded, but anyway.
Oh, is this the end of the show, guys? Are we done?
It feels like we might be there.
What's that, James?
I said it feels like we might be there. You got one more, Corey?
I got a quick one. It's kind of quick. It could be quick. I don't think you guys will take too long on this, but a little quick existential question, not Star Wars related. I heard an article about this recently, and you know, this is kind of like science fantasy that might become like science reality within, you know, our lifetimes, which is kind of interesting, and it's bizarre. It's a pretty weird question, but let's just say before the time that we die, like, you know, we got, say, another 20 years to 40 years, good years left, maybe, hopefully. Let's say, a lot can happen in science-wise in that time frame, and hopefully we grow exponentially in science and by leaps and bounds and make all new kinds of discoveries that'll help us. But I've heard recently that it may literally be possible to kind of transfer your consciousness
yourself into a computer.
Yeah. Now, if that technology become readily available to you, like, it's not like you have to pay $1 million to take this deal. If you're on your deathbed and they're like, hey man, here it is, like, if you want to plug in, we're right here, it's free, are you going to say, yeah, plug me in, I don't want to go out like this? Or are you going to say, you know, my time has come and let me be, I'm going to pass, I'm going to become a luminous being?
No, plug me in. What the hell?
Plug me in.
Billions upon billions of people have died. I'll be one of the first to get plugged into the Matrix. What the hell? If you don't like my personality once I'm on the other side, just hit delete. Get me out of here.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. Like, I mean, once you're on the other side, do you even care or know? Or is there any difference for you? Like, you know, it's kind of interesting. It might literally open Pandora's box, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Assuming I still had, like, the skills of observation, I could still see Star Wars movies. I could still podcast.
Well, by the time...
I won't need a microphone. I could just speak directly into my podcast stream.
By the time computing is where Corey's talking about, robotics will be leaps and bounds ahead too, and you won't just download into a laptop. You'll download into a new body.
Yeah, a copy of yourself.
Yeah. But, I mean, the real question is, like, do you still have a soul at that point, or, you know?
Yeah, it's... tough.
You're getting into do robots dream of electric sheep?
Yeah,
it's territory.
The only thing I fear more than death is living forever. So I probably eventually would choose to unplug.
Oh yeah, like if I could choose the perfect lifetime, I'd have like the line of kings, like Aragorn. You know, a good 250 years, something like that.
Don't get too greedy.
250 would be good. You know, it's not a millennia or anything, like.
As long as you weren't a vegetable for, you know, 180 of those years.
Oh, no. You'd be like, I think what? Aragorn's how old in Lord of the Rings? Like 80?
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. Imagine being an 80-year-old in that kind of the prime of your life. It's so wise and strong.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the first generation of something, you know, like when they first came out with the like electric cars, I was like, well, I'll let them do a couple generations before I sink my money into that. Like, what about the glitches? Like, what if you find out, like, the first, you know, first few people who do the downloads, you know, experience excruciating, tormenting pain?
But then you'll never feel pain again, James.
At some point in our species, somebody decided to eat the poisonous fruit and probably died a terrible death. And that's how we know that such and such food is not good for you. You know, somebody ate the mushrooms off your lawn.
Yeah, someone smoked a pine cone, like, to find marijuana.
No. No one did that.
I'm pretty sure people, they tried a little bit of everything, like, let's try this, let's try that. Holy shit, what did we just find? But yeah, it could also open Pandora's box, man. I mean, we're talking, like you said, the soul thing and just, yeah, like, you got the walking dead living among you in a way.
Well, I'm just going to assume I could do things like in Wreck-It Ralph, and I could download myself into a video game and start interacting with video game characters. Or I could be Pac-Man.
What happens if you run out of batteries? Is it just like a simple reboot?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Even at that, I don't know. It's interesting. It's like, I guess in a way you wouldn't even realize what happened, but I don't know. It's you'd definitely be a second tier human though if people knew, like, look, it's like a soul survivor. Like, you'd be like frown. It would be not frowned upon, but I don't know. Like, you wouldn't be considered like almost like a pet in a way. Like,
eventually, well, okay, Corey, it would be us against them.
Yeah, man, there'd be an uprising.
Imagine they could prove that you were actually in there. It was you. It was your personality, your thoughts, your memories. Would you still have the right to vote?
Yeah, would you have the right to do a lot of things, to be honest?
I mean, you'd have to redefine what a person is.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be messed up, dude.
Because then all of a sudden people could create life. Because if, like, a consciousness downloaded onto, a computer is life, because it was once, and it's got, you know, so if someone designs something that can do all those things, it exists on the same platform, then, you know, that's a virtual person, sort of like a test tube baby, but, like, you know, still might fit the criteria at some point. So then we could create life by you know, making virtual people. All very messed up, Corey.
Yeah, so it's pretty messed up question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Gotcha.
Way to fuck up the show.
Well, gotcha, don't worry. Bitches. We're not going to have to deal with that. Just our kids. Our kids will have to deal with that.
Again, you know, the advent might come around as we're reaching the end. So we might be the first, kind of. Kyle's like, plug me in.
Yeah, I'll be the experimental guy. Go for it.
Yeah. And it's going to take form of C-3PO.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I'll have Carlos smash me around a bit. That'd be all right. All right, guys. I'm out of here.
It's time.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to punch the clock here.
Later, man.
Peace out, boys.
All right, but everybody, thank you for listening to Sith Disturbers. Check out the Commonwealth over the weekend, and be ready, because episode 80 of the Tumbling Saber podcast is coming at you fast, and that's dropping in a couple days. So until then, we'll wish you all a happy weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Sith Disturbers podcast, brought to you by the Warped Minds at the Tumbling Saber, proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Steak? Steak? Steak?